Good Friday. Today is April the 11th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, arborvitae making agricultural headlines. We're going to talk about those trees as we're seeing some that are showing signs of stress and death since last year. We also want to get a quick update on the spotted lanternfly hatch. We'll be back with that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to take some time this Friday morning as we take a look out in the backyard and garden and talk about a particular plant that folks have seen maybe struggling a little bit, that being the arborvitae. Arborvitaes are an evergreen type plant often used as a hedge or a screen, maybe in windbreaks or also different types of landscaping plantings. But a lot of folks going out and finding that some of those maybe aren't just sort of brown from the winter. They've actually been dying. And there's different things that can cause that with arborvitae. It's not always conclusive. Sometimes it's too much water. A lot of times it's too little water. Arborvitae do like to have just the right amount of moisture. And a lot of times folks will plant them and make sure they get them watered for the first couple weeks or month even. But then after you get through a couple more months, they look like they've established themselves. But even a couple years it takes to get that root system really going. And if we have some drought stress, as we had last summer, that can really take its toll, but you don't necessarily see it right away, as that can cause those roots to suffer. Now, arborvitaes exposed to excessive winter winds also can have some problems, as the roots can also maybe freeze and desiccate, and we have had some cold temperatures if they weren't planted deep enough. So a lot of different things there. Another common problem we talk about is bagworms. I actually was out in a windbreak the other day helping do some pruning and trimming back and noticed several arborvitae that were just infested with those bagworms hanging. Now is the time to maybe take action if you're going to physically remove those, because the worms are still in the bag, not crawling yet. But once they do start to move, our opportunity becomes limited to control them. There are some pesticides to use, but you do have to be aggressive and get out. And sometimes if that arborvitae tree or other evergreen is tall enough, it's hard to be able to get all of them physically removed. And sometimes the pesticides can work, but if you just leave a few, they can quickly spread. So different things to keep in mind as we're talking about arborvitae today. Well, another thing we want to cover is the spotted lanternfly. We talked about this a fair amount last year. This can be a really devastating pest. And as temperatures begin to warm, spotted lanternfly eggs that were laid last fall will begin to hatch later this spring. The National Phenology Network is forecasting spotted lanternfly egg hatching in North America based on growing degree days, a base of 50 degrees. And so that is something we need to pay attention to as far as when that may occur. Here in Ohio, they're saying probably in about 3 weeks is when we could start to see it happen. So while it appears that we are anticipating egg hatch, Ohio still has time to monitor for the presence of egg masses and remove and destroy those eggs prior to the hatch, which would help reduce that population. Last fall, the adult females laid egg masses, and each egg mass typically contains between 30 to 50 eggs. They're laid in rows, or what some describe as chains, and are usually covered with some sort of like white material, if you will, which can, as the winter goes on, sort of turn to a sort of gray putty-ish looking, maybe brownish putty or caulk looking coating that protects those. And that's exactly what it is. That coating does protect the eggs beneath it. And so it's something shiny in the fall when they lay them, but then sort of dulls with the weather. The good news is you can go in and physically remove those. Egg masses can be scraped off into a container or a plastic bag with hand sanitizer, rubbing alcohol, or just smash them on the surface. And what that does is that will kill those eggs and reduce the population, which is our goal. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now, go from talking trees and bugs to lawn care. And it's hard to believe, but it is that time of year. I've already seen a few folks out mowing. We want to talk about some considerations for properly regarding care of lawns this spring and throughout the year. USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
Homeowners, property owners, Getting ready to do lawn care to prepare your turf for the spring and summer? Consider these steps, as provided by Cornell University Extension's Carl Schimenti, starting with...
What is your sort of goal or expectation of the lawn?
Maybe a rich, dense lawn for landscaping, perhaps full cover to allow a place to sit on the lawn.
So setting your goal is going to dictate then how much I mow, how much I fertilize, if I need to irrigate or not, what sort of seed I use.
Schimenti says timing is everything related to lawn care. For example, it still may be too early to mow your lawn, yet you have the itch to do something. In addition, some states, counties, or municipalities have regulations regarding when fertilizer can be applied. He says one thing a lawn owner can do...
Think about seed. Seed would be the number one thing. You can almost always throw some seed if you pick the right varieties. That's a really good sort of long-term solution to having a healthy lawn.
Another consideration for your lawn care... Knowing your soils.
Knowing if you have a sandier soil or have a heavier clay silt soil will change sort of what you can do in that system.
So while sandy soils need more water and nutrients, heavier soils could be more compaction, leading to increased weed growth.
The general growing environment, how many trees, where the shade is coming from, that will sort of change what the ideal variety or different species of turf grass you want to use in your lawn.
While many lawn owners take a set it and forget it approach to lawn care.
The reality is that climate is different every single year, that the weather is different, the age of your turf grass changes over time. So you have to be a little bit more reactive than just saying, I'm going to fertilize it at these three times of the year and I'm going to mow every Saturday.
Schimenti says, as an example, lawn mowing may occur more than once a week during the spring growth surge, but perhaps is not needed every week during the hot summer months. He adds sometimes a do-less approach to lawn care works best, so less mowing, fertilizer application, and or irrigation might produce a healthier lawn, depending on soils, conditions, and such. Also consider alternatives.
So when we say use alternatives, sort of thinking about, first of all, are you doing the right things with the low-risk options? You have a lot of weeds, people think, oh, I have to apply a herbicide. If we overseed enough, we will crowd out those weeds over time, and then we won't need to use herbicides. So that's an idea of an alternative way to control the weeds is, hey, let's grow better grass.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.